Thank you for listening to the Word of Deliverance podcast. We hope it'll be a blessing to you. If you would like to sow into this ministry, please go to wodchurch.com and click give. Yeah. Hallelujah. Not just our voice, but our heart, our mind, our actions, every part of our being. Hallelujah. You know, David, the psalmist, had to speak to himself sometimes. He'd say, bless the Lord, O my soul. I mean, he's talking to himself. Soul, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. And he would say in another instance, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you discomfited? Hope in the Lord. Hallelujah. And he would encourage himself in the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes we have to speak to our soul, our psuche, our psyche, our mind. Hallelujah. Our thoughts, our emotions. Sometimes we got to speak to yourself. Anybody in here ever talk to yourself? I won't tell on you. Hallelujah. A few of you do. Do you ever answer yourself? Most of the time when we speak to ourselves, we don't always have the answer, right? That's why we're speaking to ourselves. Hallelujah. You can encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and make a melody in your heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. That praise and worship has the ability to bring you out of the atmosphere that you're in. And transplant you. Transform you. Transfigure you. Hallelujah. In another realm and another dimension. How many know there's a realm and a dimension higher than the dimension of this earthly realm that we know? Hallelujah. So that when my soul focuses on something higher than myself. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Hallelujah. I mean, sometimes we just got to cause our mind to focus on something higher than ourself. Right. Hallelujah. See, I'm going to bless the Lord today. Yeah. And all that is within me, I'm going to bless his holy name. The song before that said, because the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. That's been one of my favorite verses growing up. It was my lullaby to my girls. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. And great is your faithfulness, oh Lord. Aren't you glad for that? Hallelujah. Have you ever had those days as mom and dads when all day long the kids are just stinkers all day? And you put them to bed at night and they're just so peaceful and so sweet. You just want to kiss all over their face, but a few minutes ago you wanted to eat them. You know, because they're just on that. They had one nerve left and they just got on it. Hallelujah. But when you wake up the next morning, those morning snuggles just seem to make up for yesterday. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want you to know, if you've been a stinker yesterday, go ahead and climb up on Papa's lap and snuggle a little bit, because his mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. And great is thy faithfulness. I'm so thankful for the never-ending mercies of the Lord and the gracefulness of our God. Hallelujah. For even when we feel like we've messed up or been stinkers, his mercies to us are new every morning. Hallelujah. He loves me more than I can ever imagine, more than you can ever realize, more than you can ever fathom. Hallelujah. How many know God doesn't just love? He is love. Hallelujah. It's not just something he does, but it's something that he is. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful for the love of the Father. If ever there is a need for something, I believe in this day and time and season, it's the love of fathers. Hallelujah. Stability. Faithfulness. Hallelujah. The love of fathers. And sometimes the reason we lack in our spiritual life is because we have lacked somewhere in our natural life. And we don't understand what the love of a father can be or should be. Amen? But aren't you thankful that we have a heavenly Father? We have a heavenly Father that regardless of where we are, what we know, or what we do, he loves us without fail this morning. Hallelujah. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful for you this morning. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for a place to come together. And I'm thankful for people that we're connected to in the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Strengthen the body, strengthen the mind, and strengthen our spirit. this morning. Hallelujah. Well, last Sunday we talked about being thankful, giving thanks. And hopefully everybody this week took an opportunity or occasion to just give thanks in some way to the Lord for his bounty and for his goodness and his graciousness to us. Amen. Hallelujah. I started out by saying this morning in our opening announcements, on our best day, we're blessed. On our worst day, we're still blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. I can't stand here this morning and give him all the thanks that's due to him for his goodness and his mercy in our life. Hallelujah. And so I believe it's important. You can't be thankful and complaining or murmuring at the same time. Do you know that? You got to choose one or the other. Hallelujah. And you know, I believe that when the scripture talks about let no filthy communication proceed out of your mouth, and I believe it's talking about a mixed word and you know, a law and grace mixed word and that kind of thing. But I also think it's sometimes it's our murmurings, our complainings, our ungratefulness sometimes. There's a communication that doesn't have any place in our mouth. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a saying that says we're too blessed to be stressed. Hallelujah. Stressed is desserts spelled backwards. Hallelujah. But we're too blessed to be stressed. And again, it's a matter of focus. Sometimes putting your focus in the right places. And so we talked about giving thanks and the 10 lepers who had cried out to Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on me. And as they were going, the scripture said, and as they went, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, in their response and in their obedience, God began to work miracles in their life. Hallelujah. And I believe that's a picture for us. How many know right now in this step, you may not see the fulfillment or all of what God wants to do in your life, but in the going. One step in front of the other, one foot after the other, in the going and in our response of obedience to the things that the Lord is speaking in our lives, he brings healing and wholeness in every area of our life. Amen. And it was only in that gentleman's journey, as he got a certain distance, that he looked down and realized that everything that had been decayed, that had been rotted, that had been diseased, that had been spotted on him began to be healed and began to be made whole, because in the journey, there's healing. Amen. I mean, healing sometimes is a journey. I believe in the power of God to do miraculous healings and have seen healings take place. Amen. And healings in my own body. But I also believe that healing can be a journey sometimes, as we begin to allow God to unfold the chapters of our lives. And in our steps of obedience unto him, we find out that continually God brings healing in our lives, in all areas. One of our greatest misconceptions probably is that I'm the only one that's ever been here. I'm the only one that's ever gone through this. And I'm the only one that understands. Amen? Because most times when you look around you, you can find broken people everywhere. Broken hearts, broken minds, broken relationships. Hallelujah. And so in our going and in our journey and in our steps and in our obedience, one foot in front of the other, we allow God to bring the healing into our life, to pour in the oil and the wine, as the Samaritan did to the gentleman who had been robbed and beaten and broken. But he said there was a Samaritan, and he stopped Brother Jim and he poured in oil and wine. And he gathered him up. He said, I'll put him on my donkey. I'll put him on my beast of burden. I'll take him to the inn. And when I get him to the inn, I'm not just going to leave him there, but I'm going to pay his debt. I'm going to pay his fee. And when I come again, if there's any other fee incurred, I'm going to take care of that also. Aren't you glad that Jesus paid the debt for you? That when he found you bleeding and dying on the Jericho road, that he began to pour in oil and wine of his presence, of his spirit into your life. Hallelujah. And he gathered you up and he took you to a place of safety. And he said, I've already paid the bill for them. I've already paid the debt. I've already paid the fee. And if there's anything else encountered along the road, I got that covered. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad this morning he's got that covered for you? Hallelujah. And so he gathers this up in every area of our life and he begins to pour in oil and wine. And he begins to bring healing into our life. Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful for that this morning. And one returned to say, thank you. One returned with the password. What was the password? Thank you. We talked about last word. Enter into his thanks, into his courts and his gates with praise, and use the password, which is thank you. And Jesus said, where are the nine? Were there not 10 that were cleansed, but where are the 9? But only one has returned. This Samaritan has turned back to give me thanks and give me praise. Hallelujah. I mean, we receive a lot from him, but we give him the praise and thanks that he is due. That's why I love to open the service by giving him thanks in advance. Lord, I just want to thank you already. For every need you've already met, every prayer request, every peace that you've already brought, every supply you've already met. Hallelujah. I just want to thank you. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so we give thanks to him. This morning I want to talk about thanks in the giving. Is that all right? Yeah. Hallelujah. Part of thanksgiving is giving thanks and then giving. Hallelujah. What challenges me to give, and especially in this time and season, is what I'm already thankful for. Amen. I'm already thankful for the abundance of God in my life. I'm already thankful for his blessings, and I'm already thankful for what he's done for me, but I'm not foolish enough to know that God has just blessed me just for my own use. He's made me a dispenser of his glory, a dispenser of his blessing, a dispenser of his giving. Hallelujah. And so I believe we are blessed to give, and we give thanks in the giving. Amen. And I think our giving is a thanks unto God for what he's already done for us. Amen. Hallelujah. So it is an honor for me to be able to give back, to be able to write a tithe check, to give an offering, to sow back into a ministry, work, whatever it is that has already blessed me. Amen. Hallelujah. And, you know, I've had people come back and want to give offerings, you know, to this house or whatever and say, you know, we want to give this. And I said, you know, you don't have to give that, or, you know, you don't have to give towards that particular direction. Try not to say names. But they said, no, you know what? I believe wherever you are fed from, that's where you're going to sow seed into. And when you sow seed, bounty comes back to you. He says, so I'm sowing in a, I'm planting a seed, and I'm sowing in a harvest that I plan to reap back from. And they weren't talking about just financially receiving back, but the blessing that they had receiving, they said, we're honored to give and to sow into that. Hallelujah. What an opportunity it is to be able to sow seed and bless someone who's blessed you. Amen. Hallelujah, and be able to give. And you know what happens is we have thanksgiving, and then we enter into we have a season of thanks, and then we enter into a season of giving. Amen. Hallelujah. And if we're not careful in this season, we'll get caught up and think that it's only all about the giving. Hallelujah. But we said last week, the scripture says in Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I told you growing up, I thought that's the craziest scripture ever. Everybody knows it's more fun to give, to receive a gift as a kid than it is to give. Only as an adult, I found that it is way more fun to give gifts than it is to receive them. Amen. I love to bless people that I love. I love to bless people I don't even love about that. And by that, I mean people that I don't know. Hallelujah. But it's also more of a blessing to be in a position to be able to give than it is to be in a position to have to be the one on the receiving end. And by that, I mean having need and have to receive. But aren't you thankful that even in our need, God is our greatest resource? And we have resources available that in our need we can be ministered to. We live in a blessed nation. Hallelujah. We live in a blessed nation, and the worst day in America is still a good day in other countries. And so we need to not be spoiled and selfish in our thinking, but realize how blessed that we are. Hallelujah. So I want to go to 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 14 this morning, if you can turn there with me. I'm going to do it out of the King James, and I'll probably do it out of the Amplified also. But let me first start out by saying thank you to all of the faithful givers in this house. God has been so good to us and so faithful to us, and I honor you today for that, for your giving. I honor your heart of giving and sowing into this ministry, your tithes, your offerings, your giving, your support, and we honor you for that. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Just a word of encouragement that needs it really bad. Laura, you know, or just, visit a sick friend and take him a jar of soup or something. That's giving as well. And, you know, so people always get kind of tight when you talk about giving because they think you're talking about you want all their money. And that's not what all giving is. That's just a small part of it. You know, God made a provision for the ministry in the beginning, and he's never changed his mind about that. But just give somebody your time sometime. Somebody that needs to talk to you for half hour or so. They're giving their time so that you can release something that you need to be released of. And so it's just not always financially giving, but it's giving from the heart, the love of the Father. You know, it just feels good. It just feels good to be able to do that. I thank God for that.
Amen. We'll just stand and close in prayer. Now, since Pastor Shirley preached my sermon there, and I'm kidding. That was just confirmation from the matriarch there. Hallelujah. All kinds of giving. You know, as she said, people get nervous sometimes when you talk about giving. I don't. No. I don't preach on giving on money a whole lot here. It is my duty as a pastor to do that somewhat. But also, as I've said before, I believe if the Lord joins your heart to us, he'll join your wallet to us also. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, I was thinking a while ago on my giving, I want to give not like I'm leaving a tip at a restaurant. I want to give like I've paid for the meal and left a nice tip because I went away satisfied. You understand what I'm saying? And I don't mean, please, you give what the Lord has spoken to you to give. And let me tell you, that's the greatest key of giving. You pray and ask God, well, Lord, what would you have me share? What would you have me sow? What would you have me give? And, you know, what would you have me tithe? Hallelujah. And he'll direct you. He'll guide you in every step of that process. Hallelujah. But I will say, the scripture says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Hallelujah. And how many can just raise your hand in here and say, I've seen the faithfulness of God in my life in areas and times where I did not know where it was going to come from. But by the grace of God, he has met my need. He has not left me hungry, and he has never forsaken me. Hallelujah. He's a good God, and he loves to give good gifts to his children. Hallelujah. And he loves to make his children dispensers of that goodness. Hallelujah. And sow in seed.
$37 a week, and we paid tithes on that $37, believe it or not, but we did.
That'd be $3.70.
Yeah, right, but that $3.70 would have probably bought us a couple pound of hamburger, you know, back
gallon
then.
Of milk, loaf of bread,
used to get it for 3 pounds back then, dollar, you know, back then, but I saw the faithfulness of God, and I learned the faithfulness of God through that. And, you know, I've said it before, our house payment was a great big whopping $125. That was a lot of money then, when you only made $1.27 an hour. But we never missed a house payment in that 3 years. And in that 3 years, at the end of that 3 years, I went to the mailbox one day, and I had told my husband at the breakfast, I said, $500 more and our house will be paid for. So we were just thrilled about that, you know. I went to the mailbox that morning, and here was my deed, receipt in the mailbox where they sent my papers that my house was paid for. I still don't know how that happened, but it happened. And, I mean, I just know from experience the blessing of God. You know, I know from experience. It's not just something that I've heard taught or something that somebody told me about, but it's something that I've practiced that has been, and God has been faithful to me all through these years. And I'm just, I'm a blessed woman today, and I give God all the glory for that.
Amen. Amen. We give him the glory for that. Hallelujah. The greatest teacher is experience. Amen. The experience, what we've experienced in the Lord, and God who's proved himself faithful to us time after time after time. Hallelujah. So in 2 Corinthians 9, starting at verse 6, it says, But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, or unwillingly. That word necessity means unwillingly, for God loveth a cheerful giver. It's one thing to be a giver. It's another thing to be a cheerful giver. Hallelujah. A hilarious giver. Another translation calls it an hilarious giver. Hilarious is one step even above cheerful to me. Amen. That's a little bit above even just smiling, happy, hilarious giver. A hilarious giver is the children who come take your money and come put it in the offering plate. They love gathering up your money and put it in the offering plate. Amen. I love to watch the children do that. You know, we do that for a lot of different reasons. Number one, it teaches children to give. It teaches them to put offering into the plate, and it teaches them to give. And then for us, it's an opportunity, all of the money that is given, to sow that money into ministries, and all that money goes to missions. None of that money goes to our church. It goes to support a drug rehab in Ohio. It goes to support orphanage in Mexico and missions in Mexico and in Harlingen, Texas, and Brother Garza that you have met. And so it teaches them to give outside of this house, but it also teaches them the joy of giving and putting money in the offering plate. Amen. How many know you have to teach your children to be givers? Hallelujah. Beth told Georgia the other day they were going to go through some toys and give some toys away. She said she was not very happy about that. She didn't want to give her toys away. And she said, well, we need to give some to children who don't have any. You know, because you have been blessed and you'll get some toys, but you need to give, learn to give. I mean, you know, it's great to teach kids to give. It's great to teach them to sacrifice. It's great to teach them that there are people who have needs outside of your needs. Hallelujah. And to teach them to be a giver. I'm thankful that I was taught as a young child to give, and I was taught to be a tither. As a young child, we didn't have a lot of money to tithe on. We didn't get allowances. When we grew up, you know, we didn't wash the dishes and you got allowances. You were allowed to live there. That was the allowance that we got. You were allowed to eat. You were allowed to live there. You were allowed to sleep there. And that was the allowance we got growing up. So there wasn't a whole lot of money came in that, you know, we got money for. But every now and then you might get a little birthday money or something like that, or get a little blessing. And my parents would always say, now don't forget to pay your tithes on that. So that was the allowance we got. We were allowed to be there. Let's go on. And God is able to make all that grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency and in all things may abound to every good work. How many know it's God's desire that we abound to every good work? As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food. So when we give seed to the sower, it ministers bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. How many know it's a principle of God to multiply and cause you to abound? Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. While by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Hallelujah. How many know the most precious gift that we ever received is the gift of his son? And the gift of eternal life and the gift of salvation. Hallelujah. Through Jesus Christ. That is the thing that we have that's the most priceless thing that we have. That we have salvation through Christ. So if somebody says, you know, you've never given me anything, yes, we have. We've been given the greatest gift of all, the gift of his son and salvation through Jesus. So let's pick that up, if we can, Robert, in the message. Verse 6, and let's just go down through there. And remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. Just as simple as that. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything. More than just ready to do what needs to be done. As one psalmist puts it, he throws caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. It's most generous God who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God. I'm always amazed in how sometimes when we look even at our giving and things like that, that fields that we sow seed into can come back in another day and be a blessing back to you and sow seed back to you. Do you understand what I mean? Sometimes your giving may be into a ministry, or it may be to a person, or it may be to a need, and find out one of these days down the line that because of your generosity or your giving, God brings that person back into your life to be a blessing to you in ways you had no idea. Amen? And God begins to bring abundance back to you in fields that you've sowed in. Hallelujah. Wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. Our giving is a form of our praise and worship unto God. Carrying out this social relief work involves far more than helping meet the bare needs of poor Christians. It also produces abundant and bountiful thanksgivings to God. This relief offering is a prod to live at your very best, showing your gratitude to God by being openly obedient to the plain meaning of the message of Christ. You show your gratitude through your generous offerings to your needy brothers and sisters, and really toward everyone. Meanwhile, moved by the extravagance of God in your lives, they'll respond by praying for you in passionate intercession for whatever you need. Thank God for this gift. His gift. No language can praise it enough. Hallelujah. Thank God for the gift of giving. And how many know our giving is an expression of our thanks unto God? Hallelujah. You know, we were talking about, Pastor Shirley was talking about ways of giving. And there are more ways of giving than just in finances. How many know finances are necessary? It's what pays the bills. Hallelujah. And it is necessary. But there are lots of ways to give, even in this season. You know, giving of our offerings, our tithes and our offerings and our and alms and all of those kind of things into the house and into the storehouse. And I believe in giving to the house where you're fed, giving into the storehouse of what feeds you. But how many know also there are other ministries even out of this church that are being done? There's our storehouse ministry down there. We're so thankful for that team of folks who have the heart for our community and work diligently two Saturdays a month, the first and third Saturday of the month, and they give out food from 8:30 to 11. But a lot more time and effort and energy goes into it even than just those two Saturdays. But what a ministry it is, and if you've not got a chance to experience that, I encourage you to stop down and help them out a Saturday. They can always use volunteers and helper, but they not only give out food boxes, but they also pray with the families who come in down there, and everybody has a chance to come in and share their heart and have prayer and then be ministered to by a box of food, and it's a great ministry. And so I honor them out of this house for doing that. And we are collecting food to be added to holiday boxes to be given out this month to increase the blessing of what we give out into this community. Amen? So that is always available down there as a ministry and an opportunity to give of your time and energy. You know, I heard a person say one time, you can waste my money, but don't waste my time. And by that, what she meant is I can get more money, but I can't get more time. I mean, sometimes time is the most precious investment we can give to somebody. Well, you can just slow down and take the time to be there for somebody. Whether it's a visitation or a food or a dish, you know, as Pastor Shirley was already talking about, sometimes our almsgiving sometimes can just be the gift of your time and your attention for a little bit. Where you just take the time to spend some with somebody who's in need, somebody who needs to talk, somebody who needs encouragement, somebody who needs lifted up, to send a message, send a card, a phone call, a dish of food, whatever it might be. Hallelujah, to minister. Hallelujah. You know, the different ministries that we're doing for the holidays, you know, that doesn't have to just be a holiday thing. You know, we always want to be giving at the holidays, but it doesn't have to just be a holiday giving. It should be our heart of every season and in every opportunity when we see a need to be able to minister to that. You know, another ministry that's out of this church, and I'll say this morning because they're not here, is the Lynn Howes Ministries, who have the on-air program that airs every week, and they are reaching people all over the world. Hallelujah. And that is a ministry that is done solely by donation. It's not funded by any outside resources. It's by partners who partner with them and give towards that ministry. And, you know, if you have opportunity to sow into that, they will be blessed by your giving and by your ministry, because it is solely by those gifts that they are able to reach the nations of the earth. You know, and a lot of those who have been able to come into our conferences from all over the world, literally, different places that we did not know or did not think would ever come to hear, God has connected us with people because they've been able to see the gospel on the air and connect with us, and we have partnered with some truly amazing people who have a heart for God and who are preaching the message of grace in their regions and in their countries, and really literally are groundbreakers and really trailblazers and setting a pace for those around them there to hear the gospel of that. So it's a great ministry to sow into. You know, sometimes it can be simply carrying firewood or like I said, a phone call or inviting someone to church. How many know it is our responsibility to go out and make disciples, to witness, to share the good news, share the gospel. Hallelujah. Share your experience, your relationship. What's God done for you? What's working for you? Hallelujah. If it's working for you, share it. Share it with somebody else and let them know the goodness of God in this season. Hallelujah. Luke 6 and 38. Is one of my favorite scriptures. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. By with what measure you give, it shall be measured back to you. But this scripture actually follows a scripture that talks about judge not lest you be not judged. And it's talking about forgiveness and some of those kind of things there. How many know some of the things that we need to give is forgiveness? Forgiveness to others. Sometimes forgiveness to ourselves. Hallelujah. And how we are dispensers of his nature, of his grace, and of his glory. Hallelujah. Can come back into our bosom and back into our... They said, as I was looking this up this weekend, it said that in that culture, they would wear an attire that would wrap around them in layers and layers and layers. And when they would go to get seed or something like that, they would pull out like a layer of that and create a pouch, almost like a little papoose or whatever, and they would carry a measure of grain or a measure of whatever it was in there, and they said that it would be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and more than you can carry, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. What I love about God, he doesn't just add, he multiplies. Hallelujah. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. How many are thankful for the running over goodness of the Lord in your life that has increased and brought increase in your life above and beyond even what maybe you deserved or what you have the ability to accomplish, but because of God's goodness in your life. Hallelujah. He brings back increase to you. And as I said before, the increase doesn't just come for your own blessing, but it comes that you might be a dispenser of his glory and of his goodness and of his grace. Hallelujah. He gives us the example, Matthew 25, 31 through 46, if you'll bring that up for me. Sometimes what we need to give in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, might be forgiveness. It might be salvation. It might be compassion, grace, love, kindness. How many know those are all gifts that we can give? Those are all ministries. Those are all callings. Those are all giftings in the house. Hallelujah. As we all operate as a body, ministry in the house, every joint supplies. Hallelujah. You are a source of supply for every need in the body. Amen. Holy Minerva, that's a message Bible, amen. that's the gospel according to Sister Wilda. Holy Minerva, hallelujah. Amen. Aren't you glad you're not judged according to your budget or your bank account? How many of Jesus honored the woman who gave the two mites above all of those who had put in plenty, because she gave out of her need and gave out of her heart of giving. That's what God looks at, the heart. It's not about the number. It's about the heart and the hilarious, cheerful giver. Amen? Hallelujah. And as I said, we're so blessed for those, all of those in this house that have given towards this. And it's an honor to serve here. It's an honor to be a part of such wonderful people that have a heart for God and have a heart for the nations of the earth, the community, and all that God wants to do out of this ministry. Amen? Hallelujah. And not just in finances, but your talents and your gifts that are given all year long in classrooms and in ministries and kitchens and, you know, services that are done to the church and all of the different things that are giving. They don't go unnoticed, and we bless you for that, and we honor your heart of that. There's nothing better to work with people who have a heart to do what God has placed on their heart to do it, and do it cheerfully and willingly. And what a pleasure it is to work with folks who want to do that and have a heart to do that. And Matthew 25, 31 through 46, it says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they answer also, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto the one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Jesus makes a story here, and he's in a series of parables when he's doing this. And notice that he's speaking to the righteous people when he's talking about this. How many know there were those who rejected him on every level? He's not just talking about when you see somebody in need and you don't minister. What he was saying is he was rejected on every level by most of the religious sect of the day, that he said, seeing you have eyes to see and you don't see, hearing you have ears to hear and you don't hear. And he wept over Jerusalem and said, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you as a hen would gather his chicks, but you would not. Hallelujah. How many of those, he said, therefore your city will be laid desolate because you did not respond. And, you know, how many know impoverishment is not only just a state of your bank account, it's state of your mind. Amen? Amen. Poor is more a state of mind than it is a state of your finances. But, you know, I think he's talking something even greater than just the hungry or those in need. But how many know we need to minister those who are hungry for God, that hunger and thirst after righteousness? And he said, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll be filled. Hallelujah. Thirsty. Those around us who are thirsty for a life-giving substance. When Jesus came to sit on the well of the Samaritan woman, he said, go ahead. If you'd ask me for a drink today, I'd give you a drink of water that you'd never thirst again. Hallelujah. That it could even be in you as a well springing up unto life eternal. He said, I want to give you more than just a drink. I want to give you something besides this temporary, daily, every day coming back to Jacob's well and leaving empty and unsatisfied. Today, I have a need to sit on your well. And when I sit on your well, he said, I don't just want to give you a drink. I want to make you a well. I want to make you an artesian well. I want to make there's something springing up life inside of you. Hallelujah. I mean, there are people who are thirsty for more than just water. They're thirsty for something that is a life-giving substance. Hallelujah. There are those who are naked that need the shame removed. When God came to visit Adam and Eve in the garden, he said, Adam, where are you? And he said, I was naked, and so I hid myself. I mean, no, most of the time, our shame causes us to run from God instead of running to God, only to find out if we'll just run smack dab into God, he'll clothe us with his clothing, with his righteousness, his life, his peace, his hope, his forgiveness. Hallelujah. But there are those who are hiding out in their nakedness and in their shame that just need somebody to say, no, you can come boldly before the throne of God and receive grace and mercy. You don't have to run from God. You can run to God. Hallelujah. And Papa God wants to embrace you and fill you and serve you and minister to you. Hallelujah. Those who are in prison, not just natural bars. And I believe in that. But how many know sometimes spiritual bars are just as much of a prison? The prisons of our minds sometimes that can be the things that keep us imprisoned by thoughts or guilts or substances or depressions or oppressions or our thoughts and our condemnation. Those kind of things that keep us imprisoned. Hallelujah. How many know he's the one who can set you free today? He's the one that can open the prison bars. Hallelujah. He's the one that can give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Aren't you thankful for that? Hallelujah. And you may have the key that unlocks somebody's prison doors. Hallelujah. How many know that's giving? You may have a word of encouragement in season that'll cause somebody to come to know Jesus. That's a form of giving. Hallelujah. You may have words of life in you that can cause them to find Jesus, which is the greatest gift of all. See, if you find Jesus and he begins to operate in your life, everything else in your life begins to fall in place according to the input and impartation of God in your life. Hallelujah. The greatest gift and the greatest blessing that I ever received is the gift of God, the indwelling Savior in our life. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for that today? Hallelujah. I mean, there is thanks in the giving. Hallelujah. Cheerfulness in that. Hallelujah. Where we're not bogged down by stress and stressed out and worn out. Hallelujah. But our focus and our thoughts are all on him as he begins to minister direction in our lives. And so again, I say to you, ask the Lord what he would want you to be a minister of in this season. What would he want you to be a dispenser of? What would he want you to be a giver of in this season? Hallelujah. You might be surprised how the Lord can use you in many different ways. Hallelujah. To be a cheerful giver unto the Lord and to bring him honor. Because see, it's not about bringing honor to yourself, but it's about bringing honor to him. Hallelujah. Because most of the time our anonymous giving is the biggest blessing. Amen. That's where you get the biggest blessing, where you drop seed in a field that's ready and nobody even knows seed's been dropped until all of a sudden you begin to see the fruit of that. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Lord has made us dispensers of his glory, of his goodness, and of his grace. Hallelujah. And as he came in the season that we're celebrating, as the angels begin to proclaim peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Hallelujah. How many know that is our message of the season? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Hallelujah. With a thankful heart. With a thankful heart. Hallelujah. We do all that we do as unto the Lord. Not for people pleasing, not for others' acceptance, or to be seen by any. but that as unto the Lord, as an offering of our thanksgiving and of our praise and of our worship, we give unto him. Hallelujah. And he blesses it back to us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. Go ahead and stand to your feet with me this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody reach your hand back there to Brother Duke. Colleen's laying hands on him right now. Let's just minister to him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, we are dispensers of your glory and of your grace, Father. Hallelujah. Lord, there's a grace for healing. Hallelujah. There's a grace for healing. Lord, for that whole back row right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I speak the power of the Holy Spirit. I speak the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you're not stingy with your gifts. You're not selfish with your gifts. Hallelujah, Lord, but you lavish upon us your goodness, Father. Lord, I just speak incredible peace and healing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Every part of his being right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, every concern, every